Okay, we come to the last segment of our series on studying the Bible. We'll only spend a few weeks, a couple weeks, on this segment, and that is personal application. We've spent a lot of time on the observing of details, and I believe that's extremely important. That being said, the purpose of Bible study is not simply to fill our minds with details. The purpose is to apply those details to our heart, to our life. The Bible is to be personally applied by the reader, especially pastors or teachers. We must be aware or beware of reading the Bible just simply for the purpose of messages or lessons. We must read it for ourselves, personally apply it to ourselves. It's always the case. Even when you're in a disagreement with somebody, debate, whatever you want to call it, concerning the Scriptures, and you begin to search the Scriptures regarding that subject, don't fall into the habit of just simply studying for the purpose of ammunition. The Bible should always be read with personal application in view. In the book of James, chapter 1, this verse has reference to the hearing of God's Word, but it certainly, the same principles apply to reading the Word of God. It speaks of an attitude that enables us to receive. Again, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to read the Word of God if we do not, or hear the Word of God if we do not receive it, if it does not become part of us. In James 1, verse 21, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Notice the word "receive." That's personal application. The word "receive" means to accept the Word of God, has the Word of God, means to welcome the Word of God into our lives. It means to believe, or it includes believing. Notice the spirit that is necessary in order to receive the Word of God. We're to receive it with meekness. With meekness. Now, there are a lot of different angles concerning meekness. Meekness and humility are closely related. In fact, meekness is really a branch of humility. But meekness here has to do with an attitude of readiness, a readiness to be controlled by what we read, what we hear. Every time we assemble together, we ought to do so with meekness. That is, a readiness to hear, a readiness to receive and be controlled by what we hear. Every time we open the Scriptures personally, we need to prepare ourselves. This goes back to the very first lessons. We need to have a heart that is ready to receive the Word of God. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to talk to the author of the book before we read the book, to get our hearts in a right frame. If our hearts are not in a right frame, whether it be hearing or reading, we're concentrating on reading, we're going to miss. We're going to miss much. Our hearts must be in a right frame. There must be a right spirit. There must be a right attitude. We are to receive with meekness the engrafted word. For something to be engrafted requires great skill. It's like a surgical procedure. You can pick up a tree branch in your backyard, get a rope, tie that branch to the tree. That tree branch has not been engrafted, it's just tied on. And that's really describes the religion of most people. It's just something they just tie on to their life. It's dead, never comes to life. We're to receive with meekness the engrafted word. That is, the Spirit of God has to do something. He's the skilled engrafter. He's the one who engrafts the word. So receive, it speaks of a living union. And that's how we're to receive the word of God. It's to become a living union between the individual and the word. That's personal. That's what we mean by personal application. You don't just read the word and then 5 minutes later forget what you read. That's just like tying that tree branch onto a tree. It means nothing. Or hearing the word of God, and by the time you get to the back door, you have no idea what you even heard. It is, again, a living union. Not just a union, but a living union between us and the word. So to apply is the act of putting to use what we have read. It is the act of putting to use what we have read. The reading a passage of Scripture and putting it to use in our life under whatever circumstances or situations or conditions that we may be experiencing, it is reading it and putting it to use in whatever our situation might be. It's putting into practice what the Word of God says. And he goes on here in James and talks about the one who hears the Word of God and does not put into practice. He's like the individual who looks in the mirror, sees dirt all over his face, and then just walks away and leaves it. No, why even bother looking in the mirror? And again, it applies to hearing as well. So, to make application requires the receiving of whatever is read, whatever is studied. Notice in Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein, it's talking about the law, all the days of his life. That ought to always be true of you and I, unless we're in a coma, or physically unable to do so, we ought to read therein all the days of our life. And if we're in a coma, there ought to be somebody who will read it to us all the days while we're in that coma. Needs to be read. All the days of his life, that there's a purpose for reading it, that he may learn. That he may learn. We read and we study the Word of God to learn. Not just to learn facts, but to learn to do some things. To learn to fear, reverence the Lord. There's a specific order here. This fear comes first. This reverence comes first. To keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. We're to read in order to learn, which enables us to keep and to do whatever it is that we have read. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted above his brethren. That is pride. We read the Word of God to restrain the pride that is naturally in us. And that he turn not aside, that we do not go astray. These are some of the reasons that we are to read the Word of God. It all speaks of personal application. So the goal of all Bible study is a conformity of heart and life. Our standard of conformity is to be conformed to His image, the image of Christ. That is our standard. And to make that is the goal. That is the goal of all Bible study. And again, that is conformity to Jesus Christ. Now, in making application, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar verse of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. He's making a statement concerning the Word of God. All Scripture, genealogies and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is, present tense, always profitable, beneficial. And then he mentions four things that the Word of God is beneficial for. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. Those are the functions of the Word of God. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. These four functions are the steps, the principles to a valid and honest application. They are the building blocks of a meaningful application. We need to take these four functions and use these functions to make personal application to ourselves. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. They're not all the same. They have differences. They do all work together, but they're not all the same thing. Doctrine is the main teaching or subject of the passage. That's doctrine. It's teaching. Whatever passage you're reading Again, we've stressed the importance of finding, locating the subject, locating the main idea of the passage. That's the doctrine of that passage. That's the teaching of that passage. Everything else that surrounds it supports that doctrine, that teaching. So many in their minds, when the word doctrine comes to mind, they're thinking of theology, they're thinking of atonement, whatever. But doctrine is the subject of the Word of God. It is the subject of a passage. It is what is being taught. And all of these people today who are opposed to doctrine are opposed to the Word of God. Because that's all the Word of God is doctrine. It's an ignorant statement to say, well, we're not interested in doctrine, we're interested in living. Living what? You've got to live doctrine. You have to live a teaching. There has to be doctrine. And the Word of God is profitable. So we need to find the subject. Whatever the subject is, we need to apply it to our lives. We need to apply that subject to our lives. It is profitable. Whatever the subject is, it is profitable in our life. The next thing he mentions is reproof. Now, reproof is the exposure of that which is contrary to God's standard. The Word of God is very good at exposing that which is contrary to God's standard. Again, all of these people who say, well, we just want to hear positive messages. We don't need to be rebuked. That again, they're against the Bible. One of the functions of the Bible is to expose. The Bible does this in several ways. The Bible exposes by just flat out telling us, do not do this. The Bible also exposes by teaching that which is right. By teaching what is right, you expose that which is wrong. So all you have to do is declare what is right. And all those who are doing contrary to what is right, guess what? They're wrong. That's reproof. It is the exposure of that which is contrary. So we need to take the doctrine, whatever the subject is, of whatever passage we're studying, we need to apply that subject. That subject has some application in our lives. There is reproof. You cannot, a sinful man, and we're all sinners, cannot sit down and read the Word of God or hear it without something in our lives being exposed. It's what the Word of God does. It's one of the functions of the Word of God. But we ought to be glad that the Word of God does not stop there. It never does. I mean, if the Word of God exposes that you are wrong, that's not where you're to stop. That's where a lot of people stop, because that's where they get angry. And that's where they turn off their minds. I'm not going to listen to anymore. This makes me uncomfortable. Well, that's a sad place to stop, at reproof. The next thing is correction. Correction. Correction, of course, is the necessary steps to change whatever it is that has been exposed. This is how we make personal application. We apply the subject. The subject is bound to expose something about us, and there is correction. That is, God gives us the necessary steps to change. You have to move on from reproof to correction. This is what the Word of God does. Now, after we found the subject, things have been exposed, steps to change have been revealed, now we're ready for instruction. And that's the fourth function. Instruction in righteousness. You see, the very instruction in righteousness exposes unrighteousness. So, instruction is God training us in righteousness. So we need to use these four intended functions of God's Word as application principles. Use them to apply the Word of God. In making application, we need to be able to relate to whatever passage we're reading. And all we mean by that is there needs to be a connection between what we're reading and ourselves. We have to be able to relate to it. You cannot apply it if you cannot relate to it. The Psalms, perhaps the easiest book in all the Word of God to relate to. But we have to be able to relate if we're going to make application. So there's a connection between ourselves and what we read. The next thing we need to do, again, using these four functions, we need to meditate. We need to meditate. That is, we need to digest the passage of Scripture as it applies to you and I. One of the biggest faults of so-called of modern-day Christianity is when church service is over, that is true. It is over for most people. And that's sad. Because when the sermon ends, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. When you read the Word of God personally, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. Now you have something to think about through the day. Something to meditate upon through the day. You ask most people that have read their Bible, you ask them where they read, they can probably tell you that because they have a schedule. But you ask them what they read, what they got out of it, they're going to at least have to give that some thought because they have forgotten. You ask most people after a message is preached, what the preacher preach on Sunday afternoon, you could ask them, maybe it'd take them 10 minutes, but they might think of it. Because when the service ends. When the reading ends. But if we're going to make personal application, that cannot be the case. We have to meditate. We have to focus. That is, we have to fix our attention upon what we have read. There'll be all kinds of distractions throughout the day to divert our attention from what we read. But the purpose of reading the Word of God is to give us something to focus on, to fix our attention upon. And if we're going to make application, we need to fix our attention on something specific. Something that specifically relates to us. And after we have done this, that is, we've made a connection, between what we have read and ourselves. We are meditating upon what we have read. Our attention is focused upon a specific area of what we have read. Now we need to pray again. We need to pray before we read. We need to pray after we read. God, help me. I have read this passage of Scripture. God, help me to be, to do, whatever. Help me to apply. And then there has to be effort to put into practice what you have learned. So, just sitting down in the morning, reading the Word of God, should give you something to do for the rest of the day, if you read it properly. Hearing the Word of God preached should give you something to do until the next time you meet. This is all necessary if we're going to make personal application. It's so important. Again, it's really an effort in futility to study the Word of God if you do not apply it. There has to be application. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being in Your house. We thank You, Lord, for the grace that has brought us here. Lord, we just pray that You'd help us today to worship You in a way that would honor and glorify Your name. Lord, for those that are lost, we pray that You'd speak to their hearts, open their hearts, Lord, to salvation this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.